You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators Podcast.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators Podcast.
Welcome inside episode 306 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan in the heart of enemy territory, downtown Toronto, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Well, your Ottawa Senators are now officially mathematically eliminated from playoff contention after a 3-2 overtime loss to the Habs on Saturday night. But despite that, Sens are still playing good hockey, 6-2-1 in their last nine games. But if you'd seen just the last 11 minutes of regulation overtime on Saturday, you might think otherwise. The wheels fell off. We'll have a full breakdown of the game that included Josh Norris's first National Hockey League scrap. We also have some big news from the American Hockey League, big in the form of 6'8" goalie Mads Søgaard, who made his B-Sens debut, his pro debut in North America, and in back-to-back games, well, a clean two wins against the Toronto Marlies. So we'll review that and then turn our attention to tonight's game. The Sens are right back in action, hosting the Winnipeg Jets, a team who has lost six straight games. All that and more. This is the Locked On Senators podcast. Your team every day. Today is Monday, May 3rd, and Pilsy, pour one out for the 2021 Ottawa Senators, officially eliminated from playoff contention.
You hate to see it. The playoff hopes are just crushed. I mean, I think really the credit here needs to go that the Sens made it to this long. Like, there's only five games left, and only last game were they mathematically eliminated, and they still got 1 point out of it. So, like, they were close. Like, they were holding on for dear life there, but they fell off the edge, and the rest of the season now will just be momentum building into next season, which is fine. Like, honestly, the way the Sens are playing, it really seems like they're on the right path. Things are looking good. The guys you want to perform are performing, and they've got a good test up against the Winnipeg Jets tonight to get right back in the win column.
The discrepancy in the North Division sure held hope for Ottawa to stay in the race for longer as the Habs imploded down the stretch. Calgary couldn't win a game since they fired their coach as well. Funny enough, both those teams fired their coach after losses to the Ottawa Senators. Winnipeg, six straight losses, but they had built enough of a lead. There's really, it's a two-team race right now in the North. And as much as you hate to say it, Toronto's right there, and same with Edmonton. But Ottawa, like, they've been in the mix ever since, what, mid-February? And then if you go even later, from April 12th after the trade deadline, this is a team that's 6-2-1. So there are lots of good, but that doesn't stop the bad. And we're going to get to the bad, but let's go chronologically through this game on Saturday night. The first period, no penalties, no goals, maybe five whistles. Was that the cleanest period of hockey you've seen in a long time?
It was pretty clean, yeah. And the Ottawa Senators should have been up 3-4 from that period. Connor Brown hit the post. Josh Brown hit the post on a beauty wrist shot from the blue line. Dzingel had a breakaway chance. Like, there was just so many opportunities to score, and the Sens just couldn't capitalize on them, unfortunately. But yeah, overall, a good first period for your Ottawa Senators when they were up against Montreal.
And despite the lack of high events, we'll call it, in the first period, in the second, there was a ton. And it started with a big hit. We've talked about it before. When Alex Romanov is on the ice, you got to keep your head up. Josh Norris taking exception to that hit and dropping the gloves for his first NHL fight. What'd you take of that?
You gotta love to see that. I mean, and this is the kind of message I think these Ottawa Senators are sending. Sure, we have some young stars, Brady Tkachuk, guys like that. But don't think you can take a run at these guys or take advantage of them, because they're going to stand up for themselves. And that was Josh Norris's first NHL fight, like you said. And he didn't like the way Romanov kind of finished his check there, kind of crumpled him against the boards. That's not a good feeling if you're a player. So he says, I'm not going to let you do that. Don't try that again. And they throw down. And I think my favorite part of this whole fight is Brady realizing that Josh Norris is getting in his first fight, the smile on his face, and he just starts working the crowd. Like, all right, everybody, give him some space. I want to make sure Josh has room to chuck knucks. And boy, did he chuck some knucks. If you're not sure, ask Alexander Romanov's nose.
Yeah, he pointed out to him in the penalty box. Dude, what'd you think of Romanov's strategy of keeping his gloves on for three quarters of the fight?
Kind of a weird one. That's like in house league hockey when you're in the dressing room before a game playing buckets with fighting with gloves and buckets on. So that's not really NHL protocol. But man, just looking at Josh Norris's scrap there, he's been taking some lessons from Brady. I'm not sure if they've been having boxing matches in the basement of their house there, but he looked good out there, in my opinion.
You think it was a dinner table conversation afterwards, maybe a Sunday night talking about the fight, where Tim Stützle is like, I didn't get in a fight, but he did score a goal 5 minutes after the scrap, a nice wrist shot. And all I could hear was Dean Brown. I wasn't listening to the game on the radio, but through a maze of bodies, 1-0 Ottawa. And that was just the kind of goal it was, right? Almost from the blue line, a seeing eye wrister, but great to see Timmy get back on the scoreboard.
Yeah, that's something that's great to see for sure, especially when you get a nice shot like that. Like, I think it did ramp up the stick of the Montreal Canadiens defenseman there, so that helped. But still, that was a nice shot, and that's what I love seeing from Tim Stützle. Like, so many times he tries to do too much, he overthinks things, but this kid forgets that he is an incredible shot. Just use that shot when you got time and space. So for him to get rewarded like that when he uses that shot is so good for me, because I'm hoping that'll entice him to continue to just use that big shot, even if you're far out from the net like he was. Get the shot on net and good things can happen. And that's what happened for Tim Stützle on that. His 9th goal, Ross, only one away from double digits. And I think he gets it.
I really hope so. That'd be a nice milestone for young Timmy Superstar to hit in his rookie season. And don't look now, but he has 7 points in 9 games against the Montreal Canadiens. So you hope that can be a trend that we see go forward. Also has 7 points against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he's tied. Those are the two teams he's contributed the most against. And if you're a Sens fan, that's got to be music to your ears. Artem Zub with an assist on that goal. Colin White as well. And Ottawa took that lead into the third period, where they continued to play well. And that was exemplified by Thomas Chabot scoring his 6th goal of the year. But it wasn't just the goal and great pass from Evgeny Dadonov, and Shane Pinto started the rush, taking the puck, a clean zone exit, a clean zone entry, dumps it off to Dadonov, who makes a great play. But Thomas Chabot was dancing all game long. There's just something about the Bell Center, that same arena where he was the only defenseman to ever win World Junior MVP, and it's in his home province. You know that there's a little something extra when he's playing in La Belle Provence.
Yeah, and that shot showed it. Like, that was a nice, smooth wrist shot, like you said. Good pass from Dadonov. And I'm not going to lie, the Sens looked dominant. They looked mighty at that point, like up 2-0. I really didn't think the Habs had it in them. And I think after this goal, the Sens, they got tired. They slipped up. There was a massive momentum boost for the Habs, and things just started crumbling.
Oh, and I mean, credit where it's due. That Jeff Petrie goal, there's definitely a dash of skill in there too. But take us through that point of view from Brännström and Zub trying to defend that 2-on-2 rush.
Yeah, that's a tough play. It looks bad for sure, but I think the issue there is Brännström is really trying to get the pass covered. So he's seeing Petrie come in. Petrie can either pass it over to the right or cut through the middle if there's space. And the problem is Brännström gives him space by trying to take the pass. And Jeff Petrie, this is a guy that hadn't scored in, I think it was like 23 games or something. So if he gets space up the middle in the slot, you know he's taking it. But credit to him, he sold that pass so well. I think if I was Eric Brännström, I might have done the same thing, because it just looked so obvious that he was going to pass that puck off. And then to make matters even worse, he did a really good job just wiring that shot past Gustafsson. Like, there's no chance for Gustafsson to stop that puck at that point.
Before we get into the controversial aspect of this game, Gustafson earned some stick taps because he made 10 bell save after 10 bell save, most notably right before the end of regulation with a minute and a half left. He goes post, pushes out to the slot and made a huge glove save. I really love what I've seen. And it almost just adds to our offseason content of which goalie do you protect come the expansion. Well, plenty of time to dive into that and the draft, but this third period got dirty after Petrie's goal and the ice was tilted. Shots 18-3 in the entire period, which is even more incredible when you think Ottawa scored on one of their three shots as well. But there was a two-parter here. Now, the first part, and I know that your opinion is a bit different than mine here, so that'll be a good argument, is what happened on that disallowed goal?
Well, to just get our opinions clear, I think that is a trash call. I think that should be a goal 10 out of 10 times in the National Hockey League. Yes, it favored the Montreal Canadiens, so Sens fans listening on their phones or whatever probably screaming at me, just like I got some not so much love on the locker room when this was my opinion. But the thing is, so Corey Perry is known for being a net front presence. Like, that's his reputation, especially in the later part of his career. You know, he's the worm. He's a guy that gets in there and roughs stuff up in front of the net, trying to screen, trying to get traffic, trying to get tips on pucks, that kind of thing. Corey Perry does a really good job here of avoiding going in the blue paint. He's trying to stand in front of Gustafson without being in the crease. However, Zub is right in front of him and they're jostling, they're battling, nothing wrong with what's going on there. But the problem is Zub backs Corey Perry into Gustafson. And even when he's backing him into the goalie, it's minor. Like, we're talking, I looked at this replay a couple times. Corey Perry's skates are in, they're not even in the blue paint. They're on the red paint that outlines the crease. Like, that's how minor this is. And then his skate makes contact with Gustafson's ever so slightly when he's trying to move over to stop that puck. That should not be goaltender interference. And my point is, I want Brady Tkachuk to have every right to that real estate in front of the ice. And as long as the player doesn't intentionally hit the goalie, I think that's a fair play. He has every right to that plot of ice as Zub does. And Gustafson was in his crease. Perry wasn't in the crease. There was minor contact. And they call it back. I hate that that's how the game of hockey has come, because a goaltender interference, they might as well not even review it these days, Ross. Just flip a coin and then decide, because there's no rhyme or reason to what goaltender interference is on a goal and what it isn't. I want Brady Tkachuk to be able to play that way. And if he's not able to do what Corey Perry did there, he's not going to be effective in this game. So I'm sorry for the big rant, but I really think that should have been a goal.
The play should have been called off before we even got to this point. As Tyler,
yeah, that's the worst part of it all.
Hit the puck down from above his head at the blue line. So maybe they didn't want to see that, but I disagree with you. I think it is goaltender interference because, yeah, Zub is protecting the front of the net, but he's able to be there. That's his ice. So Perry chooses the path through the goalie and the player, which you mentioned the red paint, that's the crease. So his skate touches his skate and the puck. Not only is that, but the puck was shot at the near side of the net. So to make the save, that's the way he has to push. So therefore, if he's trying to slide his foot and there's another skate in the way, then you're in a situation where he can't make the save. Intentional or not, that's where a two-minute penalty comes in. But if it's unintentional, but you impede the goalie from being able to make a save, that's textbook goalie interference. So to me, and Gustafson's so funny in his post game, man. He's so blunt. I love a good Swede now and again. He's just like, no, it was definitely goalie interference. So good call.
But see, I agree with the sentiment. But the thing is, that was the most minor of contact like ever. Like, this isn't soccer. Like, there's going to be contact in those areas. You're supposed to battle for those areas. And yes, Zub has a right to be there. Corey Perry has a right to be there. Philip Gustafson has a right to be there. But the amount of contact that happens, it isn't egregious, and I don't think should have been enough to say that Gustafson couldn't have got over there if he pushed a little bit harder and battled through that. Like, just if you watch the replay, Perry's skates and Gustafson's skates touch ever so slightly and on the edge of the paint of the crease. Like we're really zooming in on this one and really taking this too close. I don't think the game of hockey should be officiated like that. So that's just where I stand.
The referee on the ice definitely saw it your way. He emphatically pointed at a goal, and then I think he bruised his ego with the no call coming back because there's a makeup call right after, a little game management. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but first we're talking game management. How about wealth management? And how about Wealthfront? New sponsor alert. We've got Wealthfront for you. So Wealthfront can create a portfolio of a globally diversified, low-cost index, funds personalized just for you, and it's in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all investing based on preferences that you can control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover their low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. You don't have to worry about the everyday grind of the stock market. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. All you need is $500 to get started, and you can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. That's Wealthfront. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL and get started today. So Pilsy, not even 2 minutes after that no goal call, and it's Tyler Toffoli, we mentioned, that bats the puck down at the blue line way over his shoulder, and he gets a backdoor one-timer. And at this point, I think if you're a Sens fan, you're starting to realize what's happening in this game.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. I don't think any Sens fan at that point went to betonline.ag and live bet the Sens. No. You know, like the momentum was clear where it had shifted. And talk about that Toffoli goal. The Sens penalty kill, I feel like, has been decent this year. Like, definitely not, like, when you're losing games, I don't think there's many games where you're pointing at the shorthanded unit and being like, they lost this game. So for them to allow a goal like this was a head-scratcher for me. All four guys are puck-watching and looking to the right corner, and then you leave Tyler Toffoli, a guy who's got 26 goals, their number one goal scorer, wide open in front of the net. I don't really get that one, but that's a tough one. And yeah, like you said, you knew that one was coming to tie it out.
That was the first power play goal the Sens have allowed in three games. And on the other side of it, Ottawa's power play was abysmal. They're now on a stretch in the last four games where they're 0-for-12 after they had scored in six straight games. So they were hotter than usual, now colder than ever. But man, that was a tough one to take. And the penalty that was called on, I believe it was Zaitsev, out front for a cross check. That was tough to root for sure. But then coming into the later stages of this game, before we get there though, I forgot to, we got to put a little salt in the wound here, but there was a scoring chance Ottawa had early in this game. Chris Tierney, like, how does he miss that wide open in front? He could have stick handled three or four times and picked his spot, but he just launched one into the corner.
Yeah, I don't have anything for that one. That is just a weird play. I think I've been a Chris Tierney stan almost all season. I'm officially stepping down from my position of Chris Tierney stan in the Ottawa Senators fan community. I'm no longer holding that title. That would, because that play was set up so beautifully, like that smooth, it was like a smooth drop pass that had him all alone. And just, it's like his first instinct was like, ooh, crap, I got the puck all alone in front of the net with time and space. Better get rid of this thing, and just tosses it into the corner, backhand high and wide. Like, that is just gross.
I think you can get to why we're burying the lead of this game. And overtime was not fun at all. I believe Ottawa had the puck for 3 seconds out of the 2 minutes and 25 seconds. Brady Tkachuk on the ice for the entirety of overtime. That's just way too long of a shift in a situation where shifts should be shorter because there's so much more ice to cover. And Montreal just had this very passive approach where they were all about puck possession. They would come over the blue line. And here's I don't know if it's a hot take, but to me, in overtime, once you gain the blue line, you shouldn't be allowed to come out. Like this regrouping, it takes the fun. Remember when 3-on-3 used to be back and forth action? You get a chance, then they get a chance. That's what it's meant to be. This whole dulling down of 3-on-3 and making it like that was absolutely horrid to watch. Imagine you're a fan of hockey or like a casual fan. You're like, oh, overtime. I heard this is the most exciting part of hockey. And that's what you get. That was awful.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing that's a problem is teams have figured out that it's a massive advantage just to hold the puck, because then what happens is you get a guy like Brady Tkachuk, who is usually very good clutch scorer in overtime, exhausted on the ice, all because you've just had the puck and they haven't. Like, hot take alert, that's how you win hockey games. But unfortunately, that's the way that 3-on-3 has gone, because teams started realizing if we do run and gun and trading chances, we're just as likely to lose this game as we are to win. Whereas if we just possess the puck the whole time, it doesn't matter if we're not getting scoring chances, but the other team can't score on us if they don't have the puck. So it's unfortunate that's the mindset of 3-on-3 now, but that's the way it is. And it ended up working effectively because Brady Tkachuk was absolutely exhausted out there. And he had a chance where he could have made a change, but the Montreal Canadiens, in those 3 seconds that you referenced that the Sens had the puck, they turned it over and he wasn't able to make that change. And when one of your 3 guys is exhausted out there, basically it's 3 guys up against 2.5. Because Brady Tkachuk at that point is just a decoy. He can't really stop anyone. He's so gassed. And then I think the biggest problem I have with this is Tim Stützle's coverage of Cole Caulfield. He loses his man on 3-on-3. One thing you know for certain is everybody's got a guy, and there's no positional hockey. Like, you don't, if you're a left winger, you don't stay at the half wall and wait for the puck to clear. You don't have those positions. Wherever your guy is on defense, you grab him. And Tim Stützle lost Cole Caulfield for about 2.5 seconds. And that's all it took for him to get wide open and have that space in front of the net. And unfortunately, Ross, the rest is history.
Yeah, after doing little to nothing all game, and I thought Pinto actually outplayed him, so I was ready to get on the attack.
Tweets ready, eh?
Instead, I had to shut down the mentions for sure. And you got to take him on the chin sometime. And yeah, it's just classic, right? The Sens allowing a player to score his first National Hockey League goal. It's a tale as old as time. So Cole Caulfield with the winner and the Ottawa Senators, although it was inevitable, have officially been eliminated from postseason contention. However, there are still 5 games remaining in the season. Also of note, the players on the ice for that OT winner, 21-year-old Brady Tkachuk, 21-year-old Eric Brandstrom, and 19-year-old Tim Stützle, a growing experience. Let's hope, and maybe a piece of humble pie. So let's hope that they can carry that in. The Jets are reeling right now. They have 6 straight losses, and they've been ravaged by injuries as well. Nikolaj Ehlers is going to be out long-term, so we'll see if they can get back. Before we get into that preview, let's talk some Belleville Senators, because after that loss, we got to get back to some positivity here. And Matt Sogard looked fantastic in both games, Saturday and Sunday, a back-to-back. Why don't you? What did you notice most about the Great Dane?
Is he big? Is he a big goalie? Yeah. Okay.
But he moves like he's 6'2".
Yeah, and that's kind of the joke I was getting at, because he is an absolute unit out there, but he's smooth. Like, for him to be able to slide on the ice the way he does, I thought his rebound control looked good, and I was a little bit surprised. I don't know about you, Ross, but I was surprised that they put him in back-to-back starts, especially up against the Marlies. Like, that's the top team in the division. And Mad Sogard, coming over from Denmark, hasn't played in a couple of weeks. So I was really surprised he got both starts. But boy, am I glad, because we got to see 120 minutes of really good hockey from Mad Sogard. Like, when he's able to spread his legs in the butterfly position, he takes up the net and some. Like, he's covering like 1.5 feet past the goalpost. Like, it is absolutely insane how big this guy is. So for him to play both games and get W's in both of them, like, big time stick taps to Matt Sogard.
What else did you notice from the weekend set against the Marlies? Two wins, by the way, and it's too bad on Saturday. Belleville allowed a goal in the last 2 minutes to make it 5-3. That two goals on 28 shots would have been a lot cleaner than three.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's too bad for Mads Søgaard, but he makes up for it, Ross, with only allowing one goal in the next game and one goal on 30 shots. So that's a good game for him. And that goal is scored on the power play. The refs were really managing this game as the Marlies had 8 power play opportunities, only scoring on one of them in the first period. So Mads Søgaard really had to stand tall. If we're looking at guys to shout out from this weekend, a guy who we've been hard on, and rightfully so, that's starting to click, Logan Brown. Assist in both games. He looked good out there, in my opinion. He's now in his 6 games returning in this little stretch. He has 4 assists in those games, only 2 games without a point. So he's starting to hit his stride. Will we see him in the NHL this season? No, I don't think so. It's too little too late for Logan Brown here, unfortunately. But if he can make a good push at the end of the season with Belleville, because Belleville still has a decent chunk of games left, so he's going to get some ice time here, I think he can make a positive name for himself, and that's going to be good for him heading into contract talks, because he is a restricted free agent. So that'll be very interesting to see the path he takes and the Ottawa Senators take.
So Belleville wins 5-3 on Saturday, 4-1 on Sunday, and 3 shorthanded goals on Sunday, 2 on the same penalty kill. Is it going to be sooner rather than later where we could see Parker Kelly get some NHL games next year? Because it seems to me like this guy's growth, and he's one of the most unheralded players in the organization, but all this kid does is produce.
I like Parker Kelly a lot, and this is a guy who started from the bottom. When he started in Belleville, he was god-awful. I think he had 1 point in his first, 25 games. He was very, very bad, but he figured things out, and now he's becoming an effective player for Troy Mann in this lineup. He does it all. I really think, I don't know if he has a chance to crack the lineup in the NHL, not on his own doing, just because there's so many guys ahead of him, and this forward roster is already kind of set in stone. There's a lot of guys that aren't going to be interchangeable in that NHL roster. So I think just a numbers game, he might not get in there. But from a skill point, I'm sure Troy Mann would have a lot of good things to say about Parker Kelly if DJ Smith asked.
Team high 5 shots on goal for Parker Kelly, and he scored one of those shorthanded goals as well. It was a great couple of games. Lassie Thompson looked great as well. He had an assist in Sunday's game. So all in all, solid. And Mads Søgaard, 29 saves on Sunday on 30 shots. So always nice to beat up on the Marlies. They're now 5-1 against them this season. And this game was actually on TSN too. So more fans than not who wouldn't always be able to watch Belleville were able to tune into that one on a Sunday afternoon where there was one NHL game after 15 on Saturday. And now there's 14 tonight. Don't worry. We've got Pilsy's Parlay of the Day coming up, but first let's gear up and get a Built Bar into your system. I just had one and you can too, especially if you get the mix box. That is my Levy Lock of a guaranteed good purchase. Now, Built Bars are the protein bars that taste just like candy bars, 16 amazing flavors, which lends to the fact, why not try them all with a mix box? They come 8 nut-free, 8 have nuts. All of them are 100% covered in chocolate. Unlike most protein bars where they're so hard to crack, you almost feel like you have to go to the dentist after to see if you have any chips in your teeth. These ones are soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are great for the health conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber, a nutritional grand slam. Now let's turn it over to Pilsy's pick of the day.
Well, Ross, my pick of the day is inspired by you, the Built Bar flavor you had today, and that's because it is one of the greatest Built Bar flavors ever, and I'm not kidding when I say that. That's not a hyperbolic statement. That is legit. Coconut brownie chunk. I think Built Bar's really figured out the coconut flavor, the coconut with a thin layer of chocolate. Every single Built Bar, as you know, covered with 100% real chocolate, and when you get coconut flavor mixed in there, and then you chocolate lovers, a little bit of brownie chunks, the brownie chunks. So you get the soft, nice, chewable pieces of chocolate brownie chunk mixed with your coconut. It's an incredible flavor. So coconut brownie chunk is Pilsy's pick of the day.
Go to builtbar.com and see all the great items available to you. It's built by the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Builtbar.com, and make sure you use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. And now that you've geared up with your Built Bars, you're ready to take on the world at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the number one sportsbook that is equivalent to the Locked On Podcast Network. It's a great relationship, and they have amazing lines to choose from. So there's only one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust here at the Locked On Podcast Network, betonline.ag. And because you're a listener of Locked On Senators, you, yes, you are entitled to a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So here's how you do it. You go to betonline.ag, you sign up for a free account. And then when you make your first deposit, put in the promo code Locked On. Simple promo code, right? Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus. You put in $100, bingo, bango, bongo, $50 right into your account. Put in $200, $100 is just there waiting for you. It's our thank you to you. But it is free play, of course. You have to earn it by wagering it and winning. And why else would you be on betonline.ag if you didn't like a little risk? Because as one young Tim superstar says, no risk, no fun. And that's why we like to up the risk by hitting on parlays. Pilsy was red hot last week. Can he continue that stretch? Well, he's got 14 games to choose from. So let's see which ones he picks. Let's go over to Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Yeah, Pilsy's parlay of the day has been hot. 3 of 5 hit last week, and 3 in a row, might I add. So, you know, maybe sometimes I'm down, but when I'm up, you better buckle up and hop on, because the hype wagon is leaving the station. And why not start the week off with a nice win? So we're going to take some heavy favorites here, as I usually do, I'll be honest. But when you combine them together, you get nice odds. That's why we do Pilsy's Parlay of the Day. So let's get started here. New York Islanders up against the Buffalo Sabres. We're taking their money line at minus 240. Then Nashville Predators up against Columbus Blue Jackets. Nashville's a team that roster looks real nice, but they never can get it figured out. But they're battling for a playoff spot right now. And the Columbus Blue Jackets, that is a fragile team right now. They're losing games left, right, and center. I don't think anyone's too happy to be there. So I'm taking Nashville Predators money line at minus 182. Moving on down, the Boston Bruins, they've been hot lately. They're up against the Devils, who also have been hot lately, but I'm taking the Bruins' chances over the Devils here. So Bruins' money line at minus 235. And finally, one of my favorite bets all season, the Ottawa Senators' reverse puck line, +1.5. I know it sounds weird, and I never thought I would be a reverse puck line guy, but the odds are not that bad when you put them in a parlay. So Ottawa Senators' reverse puck line at minus 182. And keep in mind, I don't think the Sens are going to lose because I'm doing a reverse puck line. I just think the odds are good enough. I don't think they're going to lose by 2, and they might even win. So I think it's a good bet to put in a parlay. So we got 4 teams. In conclusion, New York Islanders money line, Nashville Predators money line, Boston Bruins money line, and Ottawa Senators reverse puck line. Put $10 in, you're going to win $38.48. Let's get Monday started off right with Pilsy's Parlay of the Day.
And if you're looking for some action on your Ottawa Senators, just on the straight up money line, it's plus 131 right now. After being a favorite for the first time this season, not on Saturday against Montreal, but the game before that, pretty wild stuff as Ottawa in tough against the North Division. But they are battling through, and there's lots of reason for optimism against the Winnipeg Jets, and we'll let you know that in our full preview coming right up. But go to BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action, and don't forget the promo code. You're entitled to it, right? Why not? Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. All right, Pilsy, some reasons for optimism heading into Monday's tilt against the Winnipeg Jets to finish the season strong right now. 5 games remaining. The Jets have lost 6 straight. Yes, they're without Nikolaj Ehlers. Yes, but also no Connor Hellebuyck today. It'll be Laurent Brossoit playing in goal for Winnipeg.
And normally, Ross, we would be celebrating that fact, because when you look at the, I'm sure, the war difference or whatever fancy stat you want to use between Hellebuyck and Laurent Brossoit is pretty significant. But if you're looking at the Winnipeg Jets game notes, which shout out to the Winnipeg Jets having over 60 pages of game notes for this game. The Ottawa Senators, I don't even think, put out a headline or anything.
Belleville spelled two players' names wrong in their scratches on their two-paragraph thing on Saturday.
Yeah, let's just say that's not something we're surprised with, but that's another story for another time.
We have to mention the exchange between Aleems Martian and Belleville, because Aleems Martian pointed out nicely, like, he's just like, hey, like, almost perfect, like, you got two. And then they go, haha, needed more coffee. Like, cool answer. I like the engagement.
Okay, fun.
They still had one after.
Maybe need another coffee or maybe a Built Bar, something to
a Built Bar. That's just it.
Something to get you focused. But like I was saying, these game notes are great. Go onto the website if you want to check things out to learn a thing or two. But they have Laurent Brossoit's stats here, 2-0 with a 2.47 goals against and a 0.929 save percentage in two games up against Ottawa this season. So it's not like we've been getting the weaker link and taking advantage of him in net with Winnipeg. So this is still going to be a battle, but I do think, like you said off the top, people, if you're not a Winnipeg Jets fan, maybe you think Nikolaj Ehlers is just a nice player, but he is such a driving force of this team. They are lost without him right now.
Meanwhile, the Sens heading back to their lineup that took on Vancouver, and that means Alex Formanton will return. He was held out on Saturday for precautionary reasons, woke up feeling not so great, and in the current climate of the world, better safe than sorry. So he's back, but Anton Forsberg, whose son woke up with a fever, he is going to be out for precautionary reasons. Looks like he'll practice with the team tomorrow. So Philly franchise gets the start once again, backed up by Marcus Hogberg. And yes, the question you have has the same answer as before. JBD still on the outside looking in. We're getting down to crunch time, man. Five games left. And when is he going to get into the lineup?
Yeah, it's got to be close here. I mean, I think we had a stretch, Ross, where we kicked this topic down the road three times last week because we're like, oh, he's going to get in and then it won't be a topic anymore. So we're not going to dive into it today. But now we're at a point where we got to talk about it. There's five games left. I think he's not playing tonight, so really four games left. I think you got to get him in at least three of those games. Like, the home games he should be in. So Wednesday up against the Habs, and then next Wednesday, the final game of the season, you got to get JBD in because you get last change. You can fully dictate when you're going to use him. I think that's very important for a young defenseman and for DJ Smith to feel comfortable. Another possibility here is get him in the Calgary game on the second part of a back-to-back. You got some tired legs out there. Give guys a break. Get fresh legs in there. So I could see him getting in there, but at the very least, I expect him to get into Wednesday's home game and then the final home game of the season, the 12th, against the Leafs.
But don't worry if you think his development's being stunted up in the press box. He's out on the ice as we're recording, playing some 3-on-3 alongside Clark Bishop and Michael Matteo. They're up against Vitaly Abramov, Artem Anisimov, and Ole Alsing, the AAA unit, going up there against JBD and company. So just to run through the lines real quick, the top line stays the same. Norris, Tkachuk, Batherson. You got White, Stutzla, and Dadonov. Shane Pinto between Ryan DeZingle and Connor Brown. And the fourth line has Chris Tierney in between Formanton and Paul on defense. Shabbat, Zaitsev, Branstrom, Zub, Mete, Josh Brown, and Philly franchise, as I mentioned, will start in goal. Now, Pilsy, out of all those guys, who are you locked on tonight for your Ottawa Senators?
It's got to be Brady Tkachuk, and he leads the league in shots on goal with 201. We're not going to mention he's tied with Austin Matthews. If you want to know that, look that up yourself. But he's got a shot on goal every single game this year. And last night, up against the Montreal Canadiens of all teams, every time they play them, we pump up how much Brady excels against them. Zero shots on goal for the first time all season. So he needs to have a bounce back game. Sure, he did have seven hits, which for Brady, ho-hum, that's a usual game, but no shots in a clutch game at the Bell Center, that's very off character for Brady Tkachuk. So I'm looking for a big bounce back game from our leader and future captain, Brady Tkachuk.
I'm locked on Josh Norris, Nick Paul, Colin White, Shane Pinto, and Chris Tierney. You know what the common thread is? The centermen. They cannot keep winning 30% of their draws. You're not going to win any games. Now, Winnipeg has some vets down the middle of the ice in Nate Thompson, in Adam Lowry, in Andrew Kopp, and Mark Scheifele, all good faceoff performers, and Paul Stastny on top of that. So they've got a ton of depth there, much like Vancouver and Ottawa. Man, they are last in the National Hockey League over their last five games by a large margin, only winning 38.9% of their draws. It's simply unacceptable, especially in their D zone. Need to clean that up to have success. So that rolls me into my key to a victory is have more possession of the puck. Make smarter plays. It was exemplified in overtime when Chabot gave the puck away carelessly and it turned into a goal against. There has to be more emphatic movements when you're making a play with the puck. Don't just make a play to make a play. Make the right play.
Yep, I like that. And that my keys to success here is the Ottawa Senators should have won that game. After 40 minutes, or we'll stretch a little more, when it was 2-0. So after 50 minutes, they were the clear winners of that game, but they dropped off. The last 10 minutes, they let it slip away. The momentum got to them. And then the OT was just a complete debacle. So my key to success for these Ottawa Senators, you got to play the full 60. You can't get up 2-0 and then feel comfortable and let a team come back and have momentum like the Habs did, especially if you're on the road. Like, I know there's no fans, so it's not a big deal, but you still have that home vibe. Like, you still have that energy to feed off. So the Ottawa Senators, they need to make sure they play a full 60, because that's a lesson for these young kids. You can't just, go hard, get a lead, and then sit back. It's not going to happen in this NHL, especially when you're out-talented more often than not. So I want the Sens to play a full 60.
Who are you looking out for on this Winnipeg team?
I'm looking out for a player that's supposed to be coming back tonight. It's believed Adam Lowry will make his return to the lineup. I think he missed the last four games.
A greasy hit from Galchenyuk against Toronto.
Yeah, that'll talk about Toronto rebuilding. Galchenyuk into a dirty player now. There's no room for that in the league. But Adam Lowry is a guy that this team really values. I think a lot of people around the league, they don't understand the full value. He does a great job of grinding. Like, he's one of those guys that Paul Maurice absolutely adores. He has nothing but good things to say about him. He's a hard worker. You know, he's really forged a spot for himself on this team. And that's tough to do. That Winnipeg's Jets forward roster, there's a lot of talent up there. So to be a mainstay there is saying something. So I'm looking out for Lowry because he's coming back from an injury. And I think that's going to give a big boost to these Jets who have lost six straight games.
One guy I didn't mention when I was talking about the centerman, and he's actually leading the team in faceoff percentage, is Trevor Lewis. Kind of a depth piece. He's 34 years old, but he was a Stanley Cup champ with the Los Angeles Kings as well. However, I'm going to stay in the crease because Laurent Boisois is my lookout player, and simply for the fact that two of his wins this year have come against the Ottawa Senators, and he's put up spectacular numbers, a .929 save percentage against Ottawa. And when you contrast that with how he's done all year, it's not too far off. A .922 save percentage in 12 games. So he's been playing really well as a backup and a guy who I didn't give a lot of credit to earlier on in the season. So I feel like I owe it to him. A little goalie-friendly show vibes there, but they're going to have to be sharp to beat him, and he's feeling it right now. So I'm looking out for Laurent Boisois. And Pilsy, a little topic to end the show on. And this leads me into a point I want to make, but I want your take first. If this game goes to 3-on-3 overtime tonight, we always see DJ start the same three guys: Josh Norris, Brady Tkachuk, and Thomas Chabot. Who would be your three to start in the extra frame?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the point you're going to make, so I won't hop on that take just quite yet. But I think I would have, I mean, if Formanton's available, that's a guy I would love to see out there on 3-on-3, which I think he is available, right? He is back in tonight's game. Yep. So I want Formanton out there. I want Josh Norris out there, obviously, and then Thomas Chabot. So yeah, the only change I'll make is switching Brady Tkachuk for Alex Formanton, which I think leads into your point.
Yeah, so I still want Brady out on the ice in overtime. We've seen him score overtime winners in the past, especially against Montreal. He's got a pair against them, but he's a guy I'd rather see in the second shift because, A, the way 3-on-3 is, there's barely any whistles. So you're expecting it to be a change on the fly, and that's where Brady can catch other teams flat-footed or at the end of the shift. But when you're starting 3-on-3 overtime, to me, it's like in baseball, you want your best contact hitters first to get on base and then let the other guys drive them in. Put your fastest players on the ice and then see what happens. See how much of the game you can control. Of course, Shabbat starting on the back end. And obviously, Brännström's going to be the second guy out there when it's time for Shabbat to get off. And then, realistically, they're just going to go back to Shabbat as the third defenseman there as well. But up front, man, you can't have a guy out there for 2.5 minutes. Maybe that's why I'm souring on starting with Brady Tkachuk. But also, his skill set, it's 5-on-5. Like, that's his thing. Get to the front of the net when the team's setting up. He's great at cycling down low. To me, he's not as much an off-the-rush player, and that's the players that excel most in overtime.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's the thing we need to make clear. We're not saying don't have Brady Tkachuk on the ice in overtime. That is not what we're saying. We're saying get him in later on when kind of the pace of the overtime has started, and hopefully you've got possession with your fast puck-moving guys, and then you can get Brady on there to kind of seal the deal. So I like that a lot. And I actually wouldn't mind seeing Victor Mete out there in overtime, because you talk about speed. We saw that guy's breakout speed when he had his first goal as an Ottawa Senator. He kind of parted the Red Sea and went right through the middle and wired one. So I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like that out there, because also his defense play has been fairly good too. Like, I would be confident enough in him to be the prime defender while also getting a boost of speed there as well. So I think you would start Shabbat and then he changes for Brännström. But if guys are playing short shifts and you get another shift in there, I don't see why you don't give Victor Mete a chance.
I think I would start with Josh Norris with Alex Formanton. I like the sound of that as well. And then throw out Jimmy Stew with Brady Tkachuk. And then your third rotation, that's when I'd get Batherson into the mix and really pick your poison at the other guy from there. Nick Paul's got some speed as well and some power to his game. Maybe you throw him out. We've seen Dadonov end the it was 5-1 game against Toronto on a breakaway. Maybe you try to get him going. Connor Brown's always a safe guy who got the wheels going as well. But yeah, to me, Brady Tkachuk's the perfect second line guy in extra time when it's 3-on-3.
Yep, I agree with that for sure.
Well, let's hope the Senators can finish up in 60 minutes tonight. But even if it goes to extra, it would be interesting to see if and how they fit Formanton into the mix.
Yeah, true. I hope they finish it in regulation, because my key to success was play a full 60. So if it goes past 60, then they're just done. Like, they might as well just give up. So hopefully they finish it in regulation.
Hey, that game on Saturday, especially the end of it, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth for sure. But you can take solace in the fact that the Senators have 6 wins and 1 overtime loss. So 6-2-1 in their last 9 games. Finish the season strong, and fans will have plenty of optimism heading into next year. In Belleville, they return to action on Friday, and that's just going to get more interesting because Ridly Gregg joins the team for the final 6 games. Robbie Arventi will make his North American debut. Tons of excitement around this team. We'll have it for you every step of the way. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.